Fuzzy TV.
Did everybody see the Rodney Paris Martin Center special yesterday? Did you guys watch that? Denise was trying to shut me down. Denise Talop, who's kind of in the pilot seat. I'm the right-hand man there. I'm basically running the show, but she's the agreed-upon moderator. She was trying to shut me down because I was on a roll, and I was tearing down the Christian religion. Shock there. Especially eternal torment. And I was reading a quote from Jonathan Edwards and other hideous eternal torment teachers. And she was just getting sick of it. And she said, okay, that's enough. That's enough. And I just kept going on. And then I can see where she would say that's enough there. But I guess we were coming up on a commercial break. And I just kept pressing and pressing and pressing. And my own people were against me. But I'll tell you this, the truth went out with power. That had to have been the show. I'm linking it down here. That had to have been the show when Ricardo started to bail out on us. He just, you know, in the first week of doing Grace Cafe back in 1999, he would come in during the commercial breaks with his Bible open, and he would challenge us on certain points. You know, he was a Baptist guy, so yeah. We were teaching on the sovereignty of God, God's use, God's creation, and use of evil. Of course, the salvation of all, the two gospels, and he just kind of freaked out on us. But after the show that I aired, that Rodney and I aired yesterday, I have a feeling that's when he started checking out. And by the time we were done with our 5 weeks in Cleveland, Ohio, on WCCD Radio 100.1 on your AM dial, by the time we were done, our sound started to be a little suspect, and I think one of my kids was with me one show, and I sent him back to the control room during the commercial break. I said, go see what Ricardo's doing. Ricardo's in there watching the Cleveland Indians on a little black and white TV. So he was definitely couldn't handle us anymore. So anyway, I've been doing the same thing for 27 years. I'm not going to stop. Now, this is Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV, the most evil doctrine ever gone forth in the world, in the history of the human race's eternal torment. And how in the world could the enemy, the adversary, Satan, get a people who claim God's name to be the agents, the host, if you will, of forwarding this heinous teaching? It is supernatural ingenuity, supernatural genius, and that he has put so many minds into neutral. And the minds that aren't in neutral are completely turned off by the Christian religion. They can't handle it. They can't stand it. And no, I don't blame them at all. Paul says in Romans 2:14, speaking of the Jews, because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations, and certainly that could be said of the Christian religion. Christianity takes the prize today as far as setting the world against God, and that's why I hate it, because people think that the true God and Christ are associated with this teaching of eternal torment. Can't stand it. Okay, so recently a believer told me he was aware of this woman in his town in South Carolina. She was a palm reader. She was practicing divination. You know, she was this lady who we would go to, maybe a necromancer as well. I don't know, you know, contacting the dead, somebody, you pay them $20 and they tell your fortune, whatever they do, whether they're actually in touch with the dark world or they're just carrying off an elaborate hoax, I don't know. I think a lot of the times they are in touch with the dark world. But this woman, eventually, because of pressure come to bear upon her from various sectors, she eventually felt convicted. Oh, I know what it was. Some church people. That's it. Church people were coming after her. Say, you need to get out of this. This is very dangerous. You need to come to our church. You need to repent of this evil. You're off on a wrong course. And so this woman eventually did just that. She repented, she recanted of her work, which I will tell you, yes, that is a bad deal. Don't anybody think I'm recommending going into palm reading or tarot cards or whatever else they do. I Ching. I don't know what it's about, but there's a place down here on 17th Street. Palm reading. Let Woo Woo, the witch, tell your future. 30% off if you come in before June 1st. But anyway, this woman then, you know what she did? She went to church. And almost everyone in the world would say, oh, great. What a good move. She finally got out of that dark place and now she's gone into the light. But you already know what I'm going to tell you. Is that it is Satan's end game. Listen closely. Satan's end game to get people into church. Because that is where the most malevolent, the most evil spirits are. Not in this woman's little dark cubby where she has a crystal ball and incense. No, no, those are the lightweights. Even if she is in touch with the dark spirit world, these are the lightweights. The biggest, baddest, most demonic, most malevolent spirits are in Christianity. Because Christianity is a religion. If don't anybody be shocked, it's a religion. It has come to be a club. It has come to be the most popular religion on the earth. If somebody is shocked in hearing this, don't touch that dial. Let me explain. Christianity became a religion in the 4th century when Constantine, the emperor of Rome, declared it to be the official religion of the Roman Empire, and he became a Christian. And it became an organization very soon after the apostles died. The apostasy set in. The apostasy was already setting in when the apostle Paul was alive. And so whenever truth digs a basement, as I always say, it becomes an institution and the truth leaves. So Jesus Christ is not a member of the religion claiming his name. This is the most deceptive religion there is. And what is so bad about it? It is this. In that world, the church world, the name of God is defiled. It is dragged through the mud. I'm talking both about the doctrine of eternal torments and the doctrine of human free will. Of deifying man, deifying humanity, giving humanity the power to direct its own destiny apart from the cross, besides the cross. Human decision becomes more powerful than God's will concerning human beings. God wills all humanity to be saved, but if humanity wills otherwise, then God can't do anything about it. So goes the fantasy. So goes the myth. And who else would inspire such a myth except Satan, taking power, taking glory away from God and Christ and giving it to the human being? This is nothing less than human worship. Putting the human in the place of Savior. And then on top of that, that is Satan's goal to deify humans, to deify man. The next step is to degrade God. Because you see, Satan cannot do anything to change the fact that Jesus Christ died for all humanity at the cross and that he successfully took sin away. And that at the end of the eons, God will become all in all in the cross. All in all? Yes, that's 1 Corinthians 15:28. And the cross will become the agency, the means by which everything ever created returns to God. Colossians 1:16-20. Satan can't do anything about that fact, but he can keep as many people as he can from knowing about it. And so his next endeavor was to defame the name of God, was to drag the name of God through the mud. And he does that with the doctrine of eternal torment, twisting scripture verses that have nothing to do with any human being burning in hell forever. I can't get into all the details of that, but many of you know. For those who are new to the show, if you read my book, Martin Zender Goes to Hell, You will find details concerning the mistranslation of the Greek words Gehenna, Hades, and Tartarus, and of course the fatal mistranslation of Ionian, making it eternal instead of Aeonian, which is a period of time. All very fascinating. If you want to know if it ever has bothered you that God could possibly be, that the love of God could possibly include your father or your mother or your children or you yourself burning in hell for eternity, I want you to know that the scriptures do not teach that. They don't. Isn't that great news? And you can find this out with just a little bit of work, looking under the surface into the original languages. Many people have already done the work for you and have written books on the topic. The salvation of all. Look up that. Do a search. The salvation of all. Oh, the church hates it. The church hates it because they're the emissaries of Satan, and Satan hates it. Why do they hate it? How could anybody possibly hate such good news as that? Because it takes the glory away from the human. Christians want salvation exclusively to themselves, just like the Jews. They wanted to monopolize God. It took a lot to get the Jews used to the fact that the nations were going to hear. But they consoled themselves with the truth that humans had to come through Israel as a priesthood nation in order to get to God. Then the Apostle Paul came. He taught a different message given to him by the glorified Christ, that Israel is no longer a priesthood nation. They've been temporarily set aside, and now God comes directly to people. You don't need a priest. You don't need a Jewish person. You don't need a church. You don't need any intermediary whatsoever. You can study the Word of God on your own. You can have a personal relationship with God in Christ without the mediation of the church. Do you think the church likes that information? No, they don't. It's not that you can have a personal relationship with God without these things. It's that you won't have it without leaving the organized religion. And they want desperately to hold on to you. So this woman, she had such positive reinforcement leaving the occult world and going into the church. See, that's the thing, positive reinforcement. But actually, she ends up in a worse place. A worse place than she was before, because now she's an accomplice to what Paul calls in 1 Timothy 4:1 doctrines of demons. And why do I say this is Satan's endgame? Because it is very unusual, very against the odds for anybody to come out of that. Once you get into Christianity, you think you're settled, you're in. You chose Christ. They talked you into coming to the altar. They talked you into exercising your free will, which in your mind is the thing that saves you, all the while demeaning the work of Christ on the cross, and you come to accept this insane teaching that God is going to torture those who don't love him, and you end up worse, because God is not defamed in the occult world. Not to the degree, you might say, well, maybe a little bit, but not to the degree that his character is defamed and the work of his son is defamed in the church world. And the church will probably get that person for life because they think that it has been, for them, a lifeboat. But it's not. It's Satan's endgame. And he's driving everyone there. Well, now at least she is away from the evil spirits. Oh, but in the occult world, this is very interesting. In the occult world, the evil spirits don't disguise themselves. They're open about who they are. Assuming that anybody in the occult world actually is contacting the dark spiritual world, which I don't have any doubt that they are. But in that world, they don't hide themselves. They're open. They state who they are. Even when our Lord was casting out demons, the demon identified itself. I am legion. There are many of us. I think Mary Magdalene had, what, 7 evil spirits? And they identified themselves as such. But in the Christian religion, they are hidden. Because this is Satan's greatest accomplishment. They are hidden. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Satan's today disguised as a messenger of light, and his minions as dispensers of righteousness, and actually disguised as apostles of Christ. Whenever anyone becomes interested in God and starts to search, the first thing Satan wants to do is get them into church. Because once they get into church, they now join a stream of teaching that has been perfected by adversarial forces over the centuries, perfected to elevate the human to the level of God, in that they're responsible for their own salvation and making God an arbitrary savior. In fact, a monster who, if he is not loved in return, will punish people, not just punish them, but torture them for eternity. And then that becomes common thinking, and then the person becomes worse and worse and worse. Even while polishing the outside of the cup, they become mean people inside. And they become self-righteous. And self-righteousness, as you know, is the worst sin. The difference between, then, I will say, I will close with this, the difference between, say, going to a medium, and of course I'm not telling anyone to do that, please don't do it, but the difference between that and going to church is the difference between, say, visiting Paris and moving to Paris. You have now entered into the darkest spiritual world that exists on the earth today. Darker than any other religion, darker than Islam. Islam doesn't have the audacity to take the name of God in Christ, but the false God that is running the Christian religion has the audacity to hijack, to steal the names of God in Christ and put them on the front of the church with a cross. Say, this is where God and Christ live. But it's not. It's not where they live. It's where the most evil spiritual beings live. And the success of the deception can be seen by grandmothers and mothers and fathers taking their children into this lovely place. How successful has Satan been to disguise the darkest evil with the magical wonder of the mood set in the churches, with the lights, the welcoming people, the wonderful music? Wrap your head around that. 2 Corinthians 11, Satan's disguised himself as a messenger of light and his servants as apostles of Christ. Demons disguised as apostles of Christ, putting on a Halloween costume, as it were, a mask of an apostle of Christ. Who else today can be mistaken for an apostle of Christ, except a Christian?